Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Can I tell you, I almost three times tweeted, Gomez, I barely even know Mez, which is a stoop, like, and every time I was like, just sound it out. Tell me if it makes sense. No, it doesn't work. And then I come back to it an hour later. I was like, maybe now's the time for the Gomez tweet. And then I read it again. And I was like, no, this is stupid. And I came back to it a third time. This is why I'm trying to drink less and go on Twitter. Thanks to Gomez, I barely even Gomez.
United in red. Remember Todd White. Where did Erik Karlsson eat last night? Doesn't matter if you ask, it's the Chet and Luke podcast.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode Bishop of the Chet Sellers and Luke Peristi podcast. I'm Luke, and I'm joined as always by a veteran who's eager to show that he's still got what it takes to play in this league, is Chet Sellers. But hold your applause, because I'm pleased to announce that we're also joined by the Archbishop of Banterbury, Father James from Our Lady of Hearing and Believing Parish. That's right, it's a very special episode. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Shout out to myself off the hop.
Love the show.
Yeah.
I had a question for you guys. Where were you when you found out Shane Prince had been traded?
Oh, let's get right into it.
God bless the dead.
We spent a good 20 minutes breaking down the Dion Phaneuf deal. This one I can see going for at least an hour.
Yeah. We kind of have to split the Senators organization into two epochs now. And it's like kind of before the Shane Prince trade and after the Shane Prince trade.
If I don't want to divide it in two, does that make me the real mother of the Ottawa Senator? So I heard Shane Prince got traded.
Yeah, not really talked
Sends
about
legend.
That. Yeah,
look, Sends legend.
Rest in peace his 22 career points as an Ottawa Senator.
If you notice his bio on Twitter now, it says New York Islander number whatever.
11.
11.
That was notable for reason.
So it's a
year, but then it says former Ottawa 67.
And then
I was like, there was a job in the middle of those.
I think. And it goes
he's back in New York where he wants to.
It was kind
of
great.
Where he was born and raised, where he's going to spend most of his life. He's a New York boy.
I know. He plays for the Islanders now, who actually play in Brooklyn. It's like, that's okay. They've got no liberals in Brooklyn.
He's a New York boy. Like, I'm sure New York City would associate themselves with Rochester and New York. Absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, I wish him the best of luck with the Islanders back in New York. And, you know, I'm sure that he'll feel brand new and the lights will inspire him
and the fans in the audience at the Barclays Center will see some of his game, like, from their viewpoint. You know, sometimes they'll see him driving possession. Other times they'll see, like, a weird rickety steel gate and the backs of people's heads.
You know? I mean, I like Shane Prince, but I also liked that when he was traded, I think the first game he played for the Islanders, he was on a line with Tavares, and people were like, oh, no, he's going to score 40 goals now.
And then I looked at the box score after that game, and it was like, Shane Prince, 11 minutes, 0 points, yeah. 0 assists, minus one.
Even by the third period, there was some guy from, like, New York Daily News who tweeted, like, yeah, this experiment's over.
But it's like, there once was a man who played for Ottawa, but not that much, and now he doesn't play here anymore.
Well,
I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to, like, Sens Twitter really commemorating every point he gets from here on out. Like, those 12 points could have been ours, though.
Well, for me, it's kind of like the Ottawa Senators do not have a long and storied history of trading away good forwards. Like, they've, like, Deese forwards, sure. Shout out to Marian Yamamoto. Recently.
Shout out to Hall of Famer Marian Hossa.
Shout out to my man, I don't know, Jakob Silfverberg, you know, that guy on that, you know, kind of 25 points wave. You know, it's even Jason Spezza is, like, a terrible, like, objectively not a good trade. And it's kind of like, yeah, but we weren't going to keep that guy anyway. And, you know, Alex Chiasson's going to, like, hit the 14-point mark at any point now.
Well, that's sort of where I am with Shane Prince. Like, he was... he was not going to play, and you can talk about whether that's the right decision or not, but he was not going to play. Getting a third back from him is not that bad, and it's true that they'll say, well, yeah, but the best case scenario for a third round pick is that you draft somebody who turns into Shane Prince. My guess is if the Senators have that pick and another third pick, and like Brian Murray also loves to trade draft picks.
Right? He does, yeah.
And it's fine to say, well, let's see what that third round pick turns into compared to Shane Prince. I would bet that third round pick is going to be traded along with a package of two other picks and three players for like the rights to Steven Stamkos.
Yo, those last 20 games with Steven Stamkos.
The day before he turns UFA.
Yo, are you kidding? You think the Mike Hoffman contract watch is unbearable? Just wait till we're trying to figure out whether or not we can sign Steven Stamkos.
Oh, man.
I low-key think that the organization didn't get along with him after that trade request last year. That
allegedly,
but you know, his family was deep in the streets on Shane Prince Twitter, not getting a fair chance. And I think Ottawa gave up on a good player. And my take initially was, you know, well, they kind of cut ties on him fast, and then someone hit me with a wild actually that was like, well, he was drafted like 5-6 years ago at this point. Like, I think they've sort of made peace with, like, this guy's not going to be in our top six.
I think just about every player from the 2011 draft has played for the team this year.
Yeah, it's like, even Ryan Dzingel,
seventh rounder Ryan Dzingel, yeah.
Legendary draft.
Yeah. But Shane Prince had, like, I like Shane Prince too, and he had relative value. Like, he was a good third, fourth liner. I agree with you, James. Like, I don't think he would have cracked the top six. I think the Senators' problem is not their top six, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to sort of take relative value and say, okay, incrementally, he's better than maybe a Zach Smith or a Chris Neal or whoever.
Alex Chiasson right there, though.
Yep. He's definitely better than Alex Chiasson. But that's not the same thing as absolute value. His absolute value is a third round pick, right? And there'll be another guy who comes along who can do more or less the same thing.
And that's exactly it. I don't think they gave up a lot. I think they see Ryan Dzingel and they see a guy who's a fast skater, has pretty good hands, and is, from what I've seen, is like a very good defensive player. And Nick Paul, who is pretty raw at this point, but is a hulking presence.
He's a lot bigger than I thought.
You do notice him on the ice.
I remember we went to that preseason game, and he was playing on the ice at the same time as Bobby Ryan, and he was like towering over Bobby Ryan. Like, Bobby Ryan's not small. Like, this guy is a humongous human being.
He looks like he wasn't scouted. He was trapped.
Yeah.
You do sometimes have to remember, like, if you're a scout who's, like, watching players, like, the big guys do kind of catch your, like, do draw the eye.
Yeah.
He's massive.
He's one of those guys that just gets described in the grossest terms on draft day by grown men in suits. Yeah. He's like 18, and they're like, this kid is big, he is long, he has soft hands.
He's got big hands, and you know what that means, you guys. We're all just big hockey fans at this point.
I'll tell you who didn't get traded. Patrick Wierkosz.
That's right. Not for lack of trying, from what I understand.
He's still here.
Still here.
How many trade deadlines do we have to be subjected to the Patrick Wierkosz trade watch before, like, we just get rid of that guy? It's like you know, that relationship you just can't break up. You're like, how are you guys still together? I thought you were gonna go break up with her, man.
Check this out. Would you trade those 6 points? Well, how many points did he get?
It's six. Well, right, or now, or last year?
Yo! That's something to say. What points are you talking about? His entire season, or that one playoff round? But it was the same Peter Regan equation where it was 4 points in six games, and then you buy yourself like one or two more years on the team roster. Would you trade those 4 points in six games for whatever Brian Murray was going to get that first time around at the trade deadline for now, where we're just going to have to like walk away and be like, my guy, you got 5 points this year. Like, thank you for your service. But like, Chris Weidman got 12 points by accident this year. Like, Borowiecki got an empty net goal. You can't get an empty net goal at this point. Like, we can't re-sign you for $3 million.
The one thing that surprised, I didn't realize that Weidman was older than Wierkosz is. Like, still.
Wiser too.
I have it on good authority that Chris Weidman is the new low key hunk on the team.
Yeah, no, your man has striking features.
Yeah, good hair, good eyes.
He's got the good hair, like baseball. Yeah. Like baseball scouts say.
He's got that. He's got that. That like American hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
American eyes, twinkly eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Would I have traded Patrick Weirkosh last year, knowing then what I know now?
He had a good year last year.
He did.
I thought it was all right last year.
He was somewhat integral to the run. That's the question, what would have changed if not for the run, right? Like, was that six playoff games losing Montreal worth the long-term damage?
I thought he was good in the run and in the playoffs, but he was like Philip Kubla good. Like, he was like replaceable good. It's like Shane Prince. I just don't see him as one of those players that is going to, like, significantly hurt the team if he's not on the roster next season.
No, but I do think he will find a job next year for sure.
I think he will be
playing somewhere next year, as opposed to, like, somebody like Jared Cowan. I'm like, could legitimately see in Europe.
Totally different. Man. Well, I can't see him in Europe. I can't see him running his own low-rent hockey school in Saskatchewan. But
Weirkosh may take a pay cut, but I'm not worried about him finding another job.
No, he'll get on like the Tampa Bay Lightning bottom pairing or whatever.
Florida will pick him up. It'll be a good
but Benson, he, Weirkosh I mean, the thing pairing. The thing with Weirkosh is that he has no trade value because if you want to keep him as an RFA, you have to pay him at least $2.7 million a year, which nobody's going to want to do coming off this season anyway.
And the trade value wise as well, you know, I always think of the phone call between GMs like, oh no, we've scratched him for 23 straight games, but let me tell you, the kid's got a lot of promise. Just not fitting into our non-playoff team hopes.
whereas if he just goes UFA, he can go anywhere and sign somewhere for like 1.2, which is probably what he's going to get next year on like a 1 or 2 year deal.
Do you think there's any chance that Ottawa takes him to arbitration and then tries to offer him the lowest possible, which is 2.3?
No, I don't think so. I think they let him walk.
Yeah,
I think
they got Weidman for 800K.
2.3 even seems.
But
like
this is the thing with, like, you want to talk about the Senators being a budget team and needing to be smart about how they spend money and use analytics. When you look at teams that understand replacement value, they end up basically stratifying into guys who get paid a ton of money and guys who get paid $800,000 a year, and there's very little creamy middle.
So the Ottawa Senators, go on.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you pay your Kane and Taze $10 million a year, you pay your Stamkos $13 million a year, you pay Eric Karlsson not as much money as he deserves, and though because you can't...
best contract ever, assigned him the day before he won his
Those guys are at the top of the bell curve, right? You cannot replace them.
Yeah.
Whereas the Patrick Weirkoshes and Shane Princes of the world, there's always the idea is supposed to be that there's always going to be another one coming along from Binghamton, and this time the new Prince is the new Conrad, Zingle is the new Prince, right? And all of them are going to make $700,000 a year, and when they get too expensive, you get rid of them.
So it sounds like prospects for you just a big pyramid scheme.
Essentially,
you're just like, just bring them out, bring them in, bring them out.
This
bring
is
him, bring
like.
Him out, bring
And if you don't believe me, just look at signing Colin Greening to a long-term contract. Like, that's the guy that you should have let walk away.
Yo, but
because there's always another Colin Greening.
Yo, Kondra wasn't healthy scratch the other
man,
day.
I gotta unfollow Leafs Twitter. I am so tired of,
yeah,
like...
What is up with you?
Colin Greening, let him go! Like, Babcock Systems doing wonders for the guys. Like, I watched that guy for years. Just, like, the only reason you think he's good is because you're comparing him to P.A. Parenteau, who's also not that good.
James Myrtle was tweeting about the Leafs, and he said something about Colin Greening. And this guy, I just was looking at the replies to James Myrtle, and this guy was like, I'd really like to see Colin Greening get a shot next year. I think he could really show us something.
My sweet summer child.
And while Myrtle's response was two words, he's 30. I was like, that's fair. But just going back to Weirkosh, I did also like that Murray was like, well, we still need 7 defensemen. You know, obviously the rest of the season is an opportunity for Patrick to showcase what he can do and see if he can keep himself in the conversation for next year. He didn't play until Borowiecki, Borvirechny.
Is blocked too soon? And reported. Get out.
R.I.P. Mark Borowiecki. I understand he's being treated locally.
Local anesthetic.
Even this guy's anesthetic is local. That's right. If Borowiecki misses significant time, and at any point Weirkosh is a healthy scratch for Mike Koska, like at that point he doesn't even need to bring his gear to the rink.
Yeah.
But Brian Murray hasn't said anything like what he said with Matt Cassian, which is just like, nope. That guy is not in our plans. Brian Murray, I thought, always liked Weerkosh.
Mm-hmm.
Drafted him in the second round. He was always talking him up as like, oh, you know, Patrick Weerkosh is doing some exciting things in Binghamton. And this was when he was like his first year in Binghamton, he was terrible, as I recall. And it wasn't until he was out for half a season when he took that puck in the throat. And then he came back and he's like, oh, wow, power play quarterback Patrick Weerkosh. Let's call that guy up.
New lease on life.
He came up. He was playing with Gonchar. He looked pretty good. He's got his buddy Turris on the team. Everything's looking out. Brian Murray signs him to a 3-year deal. And now it's just kind of like, well, I like Patrick, but Dave says I can't. We got to get rid of him. Yeah. So
I'm in my feelings.
And I work for Dave, so.
I'm in my feelings about Gonchar these days. Where I was looking up Gonchar the other day, and it was like, he'd get somewhere between like 23 and 33 points a year. We're roasting this guy because he made $5 million a year. That doesn't actually really affect the team that much when they're not a cap team. And now we're like, we gotta preserve this guy that gets 5 points. It's like, I miss that like future Hall of Famer that we had on the blue line, who we were like, this guy got walked on 2 goals
this
year. To
me, one of the lowest moments in franchise history for me, like in terms of just me not sort of agreeing with the fans, was I think it was the home opener in 2012.
Oh yeah,
when he and Kuba both got booed.
I was there, and those boos were like, they were on some You Can't Trust a Gen Pop, like 15 people out of 19,000 booed. But like,
you noticed.
It's the boos that you remember. You know what I mean?
Like, maybe they were both a little bit overpaid, but like after the last 3 or 4 years, tell me you wouldn't take 2012 Kuba and Gonchar on your team most nights, you know? Which is why I'm not that upset about bringing in Dion Phaneuf, even at a $7 million
ticket.
No,
this is my fear with Dion Phaneuf, where it's like, well, 4.5 years from now, though, this contract's not going to be... It's like, I want the Sens to be good within 4.5 years and now. Like, I don't want, like, Eric Carlson to be like 31 and be like, now's the time where we're going for the throat.
It's like, this is already the hottest podcast we've ever done. I get the sense.
You knew I had a temper when you married me.
I get the sense that Phaneuf so far has enjoyed his time in Ottawa. I feel like he's relaxed. He's, you know, even if they're not a playoff team, he likes the guys he's playing with. Mm-hmm. He's having a good time. I'm going to start looking for, you know, some condo by the water.
I mean, he doesn't have the wry wit of Clark MacArthur or the like genuine likability of Bobby Ryan, but the guy says stuff that I'm kind of like, look, I'm a person who's lived through the most beloved player in team history being like, we probably don't really have a shot winning this playoff series. Like, when he's kind of like, the fans were cheering me when I scored my first goal, and you know what? Never going to forget that for the rest of my career. I was like, this is the kind of stuff I need in 2016.
But did you see that every time he touched the puck in practice this morning that the Sens players were booing him just to get him ready for the ACC?
That's good.
I was like, that's camaraderie. I like that.
I like it.
I think we as a fan base, we've done this before, right? We've brought in Clark MacArthur, a guy we now love, giving Dion Phaneuf a new lease on overpaid life. My question to you guys is, can we do it again with Scott Gomez?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I can walk this back like a step or two, has watching Dion Phaneuf been kind of an educational experience for you? Roasting that guy beyond belief for years, where now I watch him and I'm kind of like, you know what? Dion Phaneuf is a much better skater than I ever gave him credit for. Like, you know, like his shot is not as inaccurate as I may have portrayed on Twitter for the last like 5 or 6 years.
It's weird how as soon as someone is not the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, you can start to see them for their positive.
The pluses.
Exactly.
The pluses. It's like how Scott Gomez, it's like the guy's made a living passing the puck. No. And I'm like, mm-hmm. He's going to bring big things to that fourth line. Whereas before, I'm like, Scott Gomez is a guy that has not scored a goal for one full year. Help Wikipedia by expanding this stub of roasting this guy. it's a different world.
Yeah, but no, I'm enjoying watching Dion Phaneuf. Like, he's reminding me a little bit of when we had Gonchar on the second pair.
Can we talk about how being like basically out of the playoffs takes a world of pressure off the rest of the season? Where it's like, the team signed Scott Gomez, and you're kind of like,
I'm worried though because
he will fill in admirably on the fourth line.
Well, like, but if you do believe they're out of the playoffs, then, I mean, why not, you know, play Matt Pumple?
Again, it's kind of like we're reclaiming all the cast-offs from our hated rivals. It's like, well, we got Scott Gomez.
I don't really see him as a Hab, though. Like, he wasn't there that long.
Yeah, because he wasn't that good.
I remember he once didn't score a goal for a year, and then he did, and I remember somebody saying, Scott Gomez scored, in case you needed a reminder to change the batteries in your smoke detector.
Yeah, we all read that Players Tribune piece.
I'm worried about the team getting too dependent on Scott Gomez and then not having him available for the playoffs.
I had a weird daydream about Scott Gomez having...
Like, what if he's the magic talisman? What if he's this year's Andrew Hammond? An Alex Shemsky
level, like, rest of the season? Yeah. Like, 20 points in 23 games? And then Brian Murray out here at that press conference, like, so we've decided to let go Nick Paul and Curtis Lazar, and we've got Scott Gomez. I feel like he brings a real winning pedigree to the team, and just be like, yeah, Scott Gomez. We have like 37-year-old Scott Gomez now. That's when I get on my, like, Sens have no direction Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If we re-sign Scott Gomez.
Yeah, I would imagine that.
That's my line.
All right.
Your line is not re-signing Chris Neal.
My line is not signing Scott Gomez. I like sit through that signing and just be like, it shows the team they still have confidence in them. And then they re-signed him, I'm right out there. I'll see you at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Well, we're gonna wrap it up there. James, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence and fiery takes. Ruth Hader Ginsburg, as I like to call
you. Thank you, yeah. Shout out to myself.
You took a podcast and you made it your home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a hermit crab.
Yeah, so...
We'll be back in a few weeks. Well, will the Senators make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Come back to our podcast to find out. Yeah. All right, good day, folks. See you soon.
Bye.
Just wanted to spit my beer.
For Christy and Sowers, for a couple of Fowers who both still live with their moms. Town's local hockey team down with some microphones on. No other podcast was finer, or was more of a hit with the big rig diners. We never thought they'd make it past episode 5. Whoa, somehow these dudes named Chet and Paristi are alive.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
The best and worst thing about the hundreds is that anytime someone is legitimately behaving in a way that they should be kicked out, that's when the ushers are like, yeah, you got to hear both sides.
Did I ever tell you my story about watching a game in the 100s?
Tell us, James.
I think you told this on your own podcast.
That's why we brought you here.
Yeah, but
since no one heard it, tell it again.
The gal throwing the nachos into the hair of the other gal.
What?
Well, there's a lot more swearing allowed on the Scotchcast, rest in peace. This gal in a Boston Bruins jersey was that, like, Boston scored and she turned around and instructed everyone to S or MFND.
You know, it's actually worse when you censor it.
Exactly. Over and over and over again, she said, till this gal behind me just took her nachos and just right into her hair. Just that cheese and the chips.
Just dripping down her neck.
And what's interesting about it is, like, the crumbled up chips are almost as bad as... You can see they're almost going to be as hard to get out of the hair as the cheese.
Oh, sure.
And then the usher is, like, up the stairs. And it's just like, gotta hear both sides.
And let them play. Let them play.
But then you'll hear somebody, like, tearing a strip off of every player during the player announcements in the 300s. You're out of here. You're out of here. Or, like, you spilt your beer and it touched the jacket of someone in front of you. You're done.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.